Lee, here we are again. Year 12 of the playoff drought. It just goes on and on and on. And any Buck fan that's going to be happy with 7-9 or 8-8, I say, with all due respect, screw off. I'm not interested.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Pin Chasers is celebrating 60 years in the Tampa Bay area, and their big 60th birthday party is this Sunday, November 3rd. All three Pin Chasers locations celebrating their 60th birthday, and here's what you get to come celebrate their birthday. For 60 cents, you can bowl a game. For 60 cents, you can buy a hot dog. For 60 cents, you can buy an order of fries. For 60 cents, you can buy a soda. And it's not like you're limited, one of each per person. Bowl as many games as you like for 60 cents a game. Eat as many hot dogs as you like. We're not going to turn this into a Joey Chestnut thing, I don't think. For 60 cents a hot dog. Drink as many sodas as you want for 60 cents a soda. Eat as many orders of fries as you want for 60 cents an order of fries. And remember, your shoes are always free at Pin Chasers. You don't pay to rent shoes. The birthday celebration is at all three locations, 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills, 4847 North Armenia in Midtown Tampa, 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue, just east of the Veterans Expressway, just north of the tip of the landing strip of Tampa International Airport, 9 a.m. to 12 midnight, Sunday, November 3rd.
This Sunday, I will be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Come join me, fans. I'm going to be there early, eating my favorites on the Buffalo Wild Wings menu, maybe a little Philly cheesesteak. You never know. And I'm going to be talking Buck football with as many fans as I can find. It's always a fun time with me. And great Buck fans around town. I can't wait to meet them. You can watch all the games on the big screen.
Sunday, Ira will be at Buffalo Wild Wings, 4075 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park. 4075 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park. The Ira Kaufman World Tour of Buffalo Wild Wings rolls on.
I'll see all you Buck fans Sunday at Buffalo Wild Wings.
All right, Bucks fans, it is going to be one heck of an Ira Kaufman podcast today. I can already feel it. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, presenting sponsor of all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. And like you heard, don't forget their new $5,000 best price guarantee. Get shopping now at BillCurryFord.com. Here's the sage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ira Kaufman podcast, featuring the custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the wizard of Whoopi. Remember Mean Gene, the dancing machine?
And the mayor of Newport, Richie.
I thought you didn't want me to say that anymore.
That's all right. We don't care anymore.
And tailgate Sunday guest extraordinaire. How do you like that, DeKemper? By the way, listeners, I just had a side salad, and DeKemper will back me up on that.
I didn't get any pictures.
While you're gorging yourself, I'm getting a side salad, so I'm working on this diet. It's working out okay.
They have good food at Buffalo Wild Wings.
They got
and
good
cold
food
beer.
There. We need some kind of dire name, because when you're 2-5, with the way the NFC is shaping up, with 2-6-2 teams that aren't even leading their division in Seattle and Minnesota, so much for any Buck fan that's holding out for a wild card spot. Lee, here we are again. Year 12 of the playoff drought. It just goes on and on and on. And any Buck fan that's going to be happy with 7-9 or 8-8, I say, with all due respect, screw off. I'm not interested.
If you want a place to go to that's befitting of the Bucks, you live in Pasco County. Surely you know someone that has an Odd House in their backyard.
I thought you were going to find a place called The Dungeon or something. How about the cellar?
The Bucks are a used toilet right now. They're playing like a used toilet.
They are in a tailspin, my friend.
How far away is this team from a Super Bowl?
They're as far as we are from San Diego, DeKemper. You know, that brings up a point, Lee. People think a play here, a play there, a terrible official's call Sunday in Nashville, which it was. I don't think Arians is wrong to take on these officials. You've heard me on Russo, because you're an avid listener, Lee. I talk about officials all the time. People used to say, concussions. Concussions are going to be the death knell of pro football.
No, you're right.
You know, kids aren't going to play football, and it's going to catch up to the NFL in 10 or 20 years. No, it's the officiating that are turning people off. It's really hurting the product. And every Monday, Lee, it's not just one game. It's not just the Buck game.
Half dozen.
Yeah, half dozen. Unbelievable calls. And they're messing with people's livelihoods. Now, would the Bucks have won that game? I think they would have had a pretty damn good shot of winning it.
Better shot.
You know, they would have had the lead with 4 minutes left. Mm-hmm. You know, you take your chances. Now, with this defense, Lee, I'll lead you right into what you want to say about this defense. Would they have held against the Titans? Maybe, maybe not.
I'm done harping about the secondary. If people don't...
You don't have to, because Arians is harping on it.
Yeah, I mean, if people can't figure out the defense is that bad, the pass defense, run defense, problem is it's a freaking passing league. It's not so much that call, but that whistle was a direct reflection of the NFL's emphasis on safety. You know, and let's be honest, they wouldn't give a damn about safety if they weren't getting sued. Let's put our cards on the table.
And as Russo says, you may continue. Yeah. You may continue.
So now I know some people listen to this, and we have some excellent, excellent Bucks fans that are highly educated, highly informed. I can hear them screaming, oh, wait a minute, the NFL is telling officials to let the play through before you blow the whistle. That's true. But the reason why that referee blew the whistle so quick is because it's pounded in their heads, safety, 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 safety. And as soon as they think a play is dead, they're blowing the whistle because that's less hitting. And less hitting, you know, adds up. It builds up. So that's the direct thing. You know, 10 years ago, that whistle wasn't blown.
Lee, I thought the league addressed this like in week two or three. They took a touchdown away from the Saints.
Yeah.
I think Cameron Jordan was running a fumble back.
Yeah. In Los Angeles,
the guy whistled it. Now, Lee, tell me where I'm wrong here. What you do is, in those situations,
you swallow
the whistle.
Yeah.
Then you look at the replay, and if you want to reverse it, you reverse it. Mm-hmm. You don't do it ass backwards. You don't do it ass backwards. And by the way, you know, you're a guy who, you know, you've been tweaking a little bit, but, you know, you're fair. You say you don't want to judge a guy by three or four games. Devin White made a heck of a football play. Wait.
That particular time, yes.
He closed the gap with his speed, and I think that's his greatest forte, his closing speed.
Yeah, he made a great play, and... He would have been a hero. He would have been a hero. If the Bucks win that game because of that play, he would have been a hero. And that was robbed of him.
Speaking of heroes, we got to give our props to JPP. I mean, we got to.
Oh.
I said they should cut him when the injury happened. We did our podcast all summer long. I said, chop him up, get rid of him. I didn't think he'd ever play again. Not only does he come back basically the minimum time that you thought he could possibly be out, he was out. Mm-hmm. And not a minute more. He wanted to play more yesterday.
Yeah, bothered him.
And he was effective. And, Lee, and I mentioned it in the Sunday column, and I know you've been thinking about this too. The resurrection, the renaissance of Shaq Barrett after a two-game hiatus.
Because?
That's no coincidence.
No.
You can't focus on 58 when you got JPP roaming around.
And guess who else had a good game? First time in a long time. Nassar.
Yeah, that's right. Nassar. That's right.
Coincidence that JPP was back? I don't think so.
Now, Lee, I'm going to give my 2 cents here. You tell me. We had our man Isbitz in Nashville in person. He did a heck of a job. He must have wrote about 12 stories in about an hour and a half. The guy is incredible. I'm known as a fast writer, but he is fast. He got some good stuff from Levante David with JPP in the background. Children,
what do you
hold
make
your
that?
Ears. Hold now, we, your ears. We, I made what Bruce Arians makes. Those are my guys. JPP pissed off. Levante David very upset. How many times, Lee, have you and I remarked in a Buck locker room after a game? Nobody seems upset. Well, they're not, you know, it's just another day in the office.
I won't go that far. I won't go that far.
When Levante David does all the talking after a game, that means something.
Yeah, Lee. I know what you're saying about the locker room. I can't go there. I can't go. But that doesn't mean... Everybody's throwing a helmet up against the wall. I'm not going to mention his name. It's not fair because people think I'll beat up on the guy. But there's one guy. And I'll just say he's a starter on defense.
Current Buccaneer?
Buccaneer. Starter on defense. In the losses of the games that I've been at, and I've been at, I think, two road games. No, I don't have to think. I know. two road games and all the home games.
And two home games.
All the losses that I've attended, this guy's yucking it up, big old smile on his face, happy he's getting paid. His teammates, whether it be Lavonnie David,
You will tell us at the end of the season. You will tell us. Maybe. Because the guy may not be here.
He'll be here. I don't want people to think I'm being unfair, so I'm not going to mention the guy's name. But he's yucking it up, big old smile on his face, enjoying the reporters coming up and giving him attention. It's just like nothing ever happened. And I guess JPP, for the first time, saw that post-game after a lock. I'm guessing, because we don't know who JPP was referring to, but it adds up. And yeah, if Lavonnie David speaks up, that says a lot. And Mike Evans was hacked off too. Ira, I want to ask you. I just get the sense this locker room is about ready to explode. And I don't mean explode in a good way as far as going out and tearing someone's head off. I'm talking about exploding as in they're going to have a massive locker room issue on their hands. Like Shano had. Like Cutter had.
You might be onto something, Lee, because I've been told by somebody that knows what goes on inside the organization, what goes on inside the walls of One Buck, that Arians, and I just praise JPP and David as leaders, but I think there's a sense, this person told me that their sense from Arians feels he don't have enough leaders on this team. He doesn't have them. And maybe he feels he was blessed in Arizona and maybe developed some in Arizona.
That could be.
He doesn't have a lot. They're young. What are they, the second youngest team?
And Lee, he told James to dial it back.
Lee, the Bucks like to flex their muscles and shoulders and say, hey, we're the second youngest team in the league. You know what? Suck on that.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in that.
No, that's
after that a problem. While, that's not a positive.
No.
That's not a positive
nor
when you're
is
not winning.
You're in the NFL. Now, a little bit ago, you mentioned JPP. And I can tell you I spoke with someone over the weekend that works inside the walls of One Buck Palace. And he had seen JPP practice. I said, what can you tell me? He said, guy looks like he did before. Now, I was kind of skeptical of that. And I replied that, hey, man, I hope for your sake he is. And hope for the Bucks' sake he is. After we watched that game Sunday in Nashville, Ira, could you even tell he was in a fender bender, much less had his neck broken in an accident?
He's a remarkable specimen. And it's not just physical. It's the drive. It's the motivation. Helmets off to JPP.
Helmets off.
Now, DeKemper, we cannot go any further.
No, that's a penalty. Helmet off.
In this award-winning podcast, we cannot go any further without at least touching on the most polarizing Buck perhaps ever. But he's got competition. You know, Testaverde was a very polarizing Buccaneer. Doug Williams, when it came time to whether you want to pay the guy, there was a part of Buck Nation that said, let him go. And I think we saw what happened when they did. 14 years of bad football.
Worst mistake this organization's ever
done. Absolutely. But number three, I'll throw this out. I'll start the conversation right here, DeKemper. Now, look, I will take Arians at his word to a certain extent. Receivers cut off routes. You know, Jensen snapped the ball, hit him in the face mask. You can't really blame Winston for that. And
yeah, Matt Millen right away said that was Jensen.
Blindside fumble. Never saw the guy coming. It happens. It happens to the best of them.
It happens to Brees. Happens to Brady.
But here is the facts. Here are the facts. You tell me your facts. I'll give you mine. Somebody told me this today, and I believe it to be true. Winston is personally responsible on the stat sheet, for 10 turnovers in the last two games.
Yeah.
Somebody said that has not happened since the immortal days of Dante Culpepper.
I didn't even think he turned it over.
Which
that
I believe he did.
I thought you were going to say Norm Snead.
Now, what's interesting about Dante Culpepper? Lee, you remember him very well.
Central Florida.
He had one or two very good seasons.
Excellent.
And he was young, and people thought he might be the next big thing, and he fizzled out.
He absolutely fizzled out. Blew his knee out. He was never the same.
Never the same.
He was quarterback in those historic offenses with Randy Moss and Chris Carter up in Minnesota.
Yeah, he was like 25, 26 years old.
In the Bucs division. They knew him well.
You know, so what do you say when I tell you that nobody's done this in this league for about 14, 15 years?
Well, when did...
Is that just a coincidence? Bad luck for Winston?
No, but when did Culpepper set the record?
About 05, something like that.
Was that when he was with the Vikings or with the Dolphins?
I believe the Vikings.
Well, you know what? That's interesting because some people will say, and by the way, I'm going to get to Jameis here in a second.
Oh, you will get to Jameis.
Yeah.
You're not getting out of this podcast without
it. No, I'll get to it. But I've read where people have written that if you're going to throw the ball around a lot, you better expect picks. And I'll say it right now, picks don't bother me. Fumbles bother me. The picks, eh. But that's interesting. Culpepper had all those turnovers and that kind of offense. I guess the key is you better be scoring if you're going to do that. And I haven't checked recently, but a couple weeks ago, Bucks were led in scoring, which shocked me at the time. Absolutely shocked me. And
they're still at 28 points. It's a good number.
Yeah, I'll look it up and see where they stand right now. Granted, they're a game short than most people, so I'd have to look at averages. I do not expect Jameis to be quarterback next year. In some ways, I think that's a mistake. Yeah, people are hung up on turnovers. Most of these people, I think, played linebacker in high school. You know, defensive mentality, defensive meathead mentality. Ooh, turnovers. But
now they are minus six, Lee.
They are minus six. But you know what? I've said this on the podcast before. I quote Raheem Morris, "I'll tolerate you until I can replace you." And right now, unless you're going to go rookie quarterback, there's nobody out there that's going to be available. Unless you have some pipe dream that Tom Brady is going to be here. There's no one out there that's going to be as good as
James. I'm hearing, and you're hearing the same thing. I'm not saying the majority of Buck fans, but I'm hearing some murmurings. They think Ryan Griffin should start in Seattle.
Well,
now, that's not going to happen.
I think I should go home tonight and expect Kate Upton to be in my bedroom. You know, I
need me to handicap the odds on those two things happening?
Yeah, exactly.
You're 1,000 to 1. The other one's 100 to 1.
Okay. I mean, I've won a lot of things. Ryan Griffin is lucky to complete a pass against truck drivers in the fourth preseason game.
Are you curious at all about Ryan Griffin? Do you have any curiosity?
You know, what beer he likes? What his girlfriend looks like? What car he drives? That's where my curiosity with Ryan Griffin is.
Is there any chance he can be an NFL player? Can he be a player?
Like I always tell people, is there a chance X will happen? There's always a chance, but
you say Winston's getting 16 games, barring it.
I'm convinced. I don't know this firsthand, but I'm convinced when Arians came in, the Glazer family said, "You've got a year to see what you can do with Jameis. The entire year. Don't matter what happens. You got the entire year. After the year, we want your full and honest report. What to do with Winston? If you think we have to move on, we'll move on. If you think he should stay, we'll stay."
I think the Arians meter is approaching the danger zone. It's approaching.
For a lot of reasons. It may not be just Jameis.
Well, but I'm just saying specifically for Winston. It's approaching the danger zone. Mm-hmm. He's got 9 games to get out of it. He does.
And it's, you know, let's
now,
say.
Now, as a team, they're not going anywhere.
No. But here's I guess it feeds into the danger zone you're speaking of. Let's say there's 5 more games left. Are we going to be saying, you know, Jameis has 5 games to prove? Well, what's 5 games going to prove over a course of 5 years?
Right.
So
you're right. Yeah. At a certain point, the decision's made.
Or at least it's 80% made. You know, you have, unless the guy goes out and throws for 5 touchdowns, no picks, no fumbles. I don't think Jameis is going to be here next year. And I've said this before on your podcast, Ira. I'm not convinced Arians will be here next year. Now, if you put a gun to my head, I was like, yeah, 90% chance he returns. But there's enough things going on here, where I just wonder if the Glazers are like, you know, we screwed up. We made a mistake. We got to move on. We got to clean house. I don't know if Arians just gets fed up and throws his hands in the air. I need to go back to my lake house.
Leah, I think it's a very open question, an intriguing one. That's not easily answered about if that postseason discussion between Arians and the Glazers takes a negative turn vis-a-vis Winston, and Arians has already said he's going to be completely candid.
Or a curveball.
Like
a curveball meaning the Glazers want to move on from light.
Well, let me start with mine, where he's saying I don't think he's the guy. I think that now begs the question, would Arians want to stick around with a 21-year-old quarterback?
Unless they go out and get another guy.
He's never done it. As a head coach.
Yeah.
He had Carson Palmer.
Andrew Luck.
He had Carson Palmer.
Yeah. But he had Andrew Luck as a rookie.
Not as a head coach from day one.
No, but he was day one. He was the head coach because Pagano was.
But now he's at a different stage of his career. He's already a 2-time coach of the year. And he's 5, you know, he's 7 years older than he was with Andrew Luck. So it's a little bit different. Now, I think he would get to be able to pick who he wants out of this draft.
Oh, of course.
That's if they could get the guy and, you know. There's another problem. If they finish 6-10, they may not be able to get the guy they want. I mean, there's a lot of layers to this.
Which
thing.
Is why when Sunday, he went off. Well, he went off on a lot of things, and we'll get to those. But when he basically said, "Are you guaranteed next year? I'm here to win games." That was irresponsible. I don't care.
What else could he say, Lee? What else could he say? That's a head coach talking. It's a head coach.
But his passion. Yeah, but I mean, if you're light, not even counting the Glazers, are you like, whoa, 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 Bruce. You're temporarily here. Light's temporarily here. The Glazer family, at the end of the day, has to look out what's best for their franchise, their investment. What's good for Arians today is horrendous. What's going to be good for this franchise in 2 years.
Are you suggesting that if they return home to play Kyler Murray and the Cardinals before about 30,000 people, by the way, at Ray J, at 2-6, which they will probably be. Seattle's not quite as good as home as they used to be. They used to be a team that went 8-0 or 7-1 every year.
Impregnable.
There you go. Lee, are you suggesting this team should fold on purpose and try to finish maybe 3-13? Are you suggesting that?
Oh, I'm not suggesting. I'm coming flat out and saying that ought to be the focus as we speak.
Even heading into the trade deadline.
Yes. They should be
sellers.
You're
not waiting for the Seattle game.
No, they should be sellers right now. They can't. I mean, if you're going to be responsible about it, they need to start stocking up on draft picks. Now, I know Bucks fans are saying, but, Jason Light.
That's fair the first point. Thing they're going to say.
Fair point. And I love Jason. You know that. I like Jason. But the draft record is...
It is what it is.
Yeah. That's the most polite way of saying it. The drafts just haven't been that good. In a perfect world, the Bucks would be pulling a Miami right now. They'd be trading. Every guy on a one-year contract would be gone. Now, what about Shaq Barrett? I will lay money, and I hope I'm wrong, but I would lay money right now, Ira. Shaq Barrett's not on this roster next year. Not because the Bucks don't want him. May not be because Barrett doesn't want to be here.
Trade high, right? Trade high.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, his agent's Oilie Drew Rosenhaus. You don't think he doesn't want his client to get on the free agent market and hit the lottery? You darn right.
Which is a reason to entertain offers for
Thank
him.
You. They bought him low. They could sell him high, which is business 101.
And that's and, the football. And he team. Could help a team. He could
oh,
help a team.
Heck, yes, sure he could help a team. No question about it. So,
Lee,
I would say Sue. And I like Sue, but, you know, Mike could go up to Team X and say, this guy's part of the best run defense in the league.
And he's on a one-year deal, right? He's on a one-year deal.
Yeah, one-year deal. Everybody that's on a one-year deal should be not on a trade block. They shouldn't be on the roster anymore. I'm serious. I'm a firm believer. Either you play for the playoffs or you play for the draft. Inactivity is the worst activity.
And 7-9 sucks.
Yeah, you're in purgatory. You're in purgatory. You're like the Buffalo Bills. You're bad enough to be bad, but good enough not to get that quarterback.
Lee, you know what it is? You're an NBA team that goes 40-42 and makes the eighth and final playoff spot. You got no chance to beat the number one seed in the opening playoff
round.
You're
out of the lottery.
And you're out of the lottery. There you go. Now, Lee, you know, the more you talk about it, the more I'm thinking about it. I don't think it's crazy to think that Arians and Light will both be gone for various reasons.
Yeah, I'm not,
I think they both could be gone.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not wishing ill for either one of them. But I don't think it's a slam dunk, rock solid, lead pipe cinch.
I think Arians could retire. I do. Yeah. I think he could retire.
You saw how frustrated he was at that press conference. Probably said, what do I need this for? What do I need this stress for? I could be fish. You know, he doesn't fish. Yeah, he does. He fishes fresh water as Georgia Lake.
I don't think he feels the players are responding right now.
Well, that's what's interesting. You know, we talked about how the locker room, I get the sense his locker room is about ready to splinter big time. Like the worst we've seen in a while. And one of the reasons I think that is, and I've heard other people that do not work at One Buck Place, but have backgrounds in the NFL, told me this. We're dealing with different generation of players. We're dealing with a generation of players that they need more a pat on the back than a kick in the rear. That's not Arians. Arians is Bear Bryant. I'm going to tell you what I think. You don't like it? Well, then go cry to mommy. And he gets up at that podium and unloads on the wide receivers when a quarterback is just responsible for all those turnovers. Unloads on
and
all
unloads
receivers.
Unloads on the DBs.
Which they should have been unloaded on, but still. You have to wonder if those guys are tuning them out. You know, Arians himself said today in Monday's press conference, I can't figure out how to get through to these guys. They're not listening to the coaches. Well, number one, if I'm a Glazer, like, why the hell am I spending all this money on
the biggest coaching staff in the league?
Yeah, and I'm basically urinating in the wind. That's number one. Number two, you have to wonder if these players have tuned out the coaches, i.e. Aaron's, because they don't like the tough talk. I've talked to coaches in college and even coaches in high school. I don't know how many times I've heard where they say, you know, nowadays you have to explain to the player exactly why you're doing something and why it's to his benefit. Instead of years ago, the coach says, eat crap, and the player says, how much?
Now, Lee, I'm going to give you a golden opportunity here to address a portion of Buck Nation, not a majority, but I'm going to set you up, Lee. Now, look, I know they've only played 7 games. I'm not stupid. I got a 98 on the algebra regions in 1967. There's 9 games left, but I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. Well, why do people read us and listen to us? Because we're realistic. Because our paycheck doesn't say one Buccaneer place. We don't wish this organization any harm.
No.
But the facts are the facts. So here's what I'm about to tell you. I have already declared, and I'm not backing up one inch, and neither are you. The playoff dreams are over for 2019.
Oh, yeah.
Put a bow on it.
I think when you go 2-5, there's like a 3% chance.
Put a ribbon on it. So having said that, that extends the drought to 12 years. You know what I call it? And I might write a column about it later this week. It's the dirty freaking dozen. The dirty dozen. So, Lee, here's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, when they lose their third game in a row and make what their head coach says are dumb mistakes, mental errors that are driving them nuts, we're not going to pretty it up. Lee, what do you want to say to the 10% of the diehards who say, I don't come here to read negativity. I'm tired of your negativity. You got to put a positive spin on things. That's what I want to read. What's your message?
Well, first off, God bless you that you still have that faith. You're a wonderful human being.
They are loyal.
Yeah. Well, number two, when my head hits the pillow at night, I got to be honest with myself. I'm not a con artist. I'm not a propagandist. And a team, an organization that has been without playoffs for 12 years, has only had 2 winning seasons in the last 12 years. If I don't call a spade, I'm a fraud. And it goes back to journalism 101. It's honest. You're being honest with people.
And, Lee, here's the irony. And this is part of the equation that people don't understand. If they're 5-2, we're making more money. We are making more money.
Yeah. And for Bucks fans, I think we're all negative. Go back and read 3 or 4 days' worth of stories, or at least glance at them immediately in the aftermath of the Bucks hammering the Rams.
Or after the Carolina game.
Carolina game,
Charlotte.
But the Rams game specifically.
That's right.
There was no negativity. None.
None.
I mean, why is that? They were winning. And they had hope. I don't want the Bucks to lose, but I'm also not a con artist.
Why did they leave their A game in the L.A. Coliseum? Well, what the heck's happened? I'll tell you one thing. I'll start it off. They don't run the ball well anymore. They were running it pretty well at the start of the season, especially Ronald Jones. Now, they're not running it well, and if Winston didn't take off on 8 scrambles yesterday and make the rushing stats look okay,
Yeah. Their
run game's back to where it was the last 3 years. Lee, I'm just going to take a 10-second break here to remind everyone, this award-winning podcast is presented by my friends at Bill Curry Ford. Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years. That's almost as long as I've been walking terra firma over there at the Kemper. Feel free to throw my name around there and get a discount. And shop now at BillCurryFord.com.
It's never good when your quarterback's leading rusher. That's never good.
And we're not talking about Randall Cunningham either.
What happened in Los Angeles, basically, the Bucs played to their potential. The pass defense was horrible. What's new? The Bucs played to their potential. Jameis had, what, 1 pick? And the game was pretty much decided when he threw that pick 6. And that was a piece of evidence why the Bucs are, you'll like this, why the Bucs are so loath to get rid of Jameis. Because they saw, you know, that's the Jameis they draft. And defensively, they were opportunistic. They weren't good. They were opportunistic. You know, Sue made a big play. Shaq Barrett made a couple of big plays. They shut down Todd Gurley. That's what happened there. They haven't played anything close to that since.
You know, Lee, one thing about the defense, which you and I, we don't talk about enough, is, and I think it makes it even more egregious. There's my word.
Not unique.
Egregious. Lee, when you got the number one rush defense, which is the one thing this team's been doing since week one.
Very elite.
Very consistent.
Yeah, they're elite.
At an elite level. Lee, when you're doing that, shouldn't that have a very positive effect on your ability to defend the pass because the other team is always in third and six? Aren't you supposed to get off the field on third and six? It makes it even worse.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's great that they're number one in run defense, but it's a passing league. So,
but it's supposed to help you when the other team's behind and down in distance.
Well, that all should tell you how bad the pass defense is. When they know a pass is coming, still they can't stop it. But the best thing that happened to the Bucs defense in weeks, what have I been harping on for years?
Ryan Smith to play more.
No. Pass rush. And we talked about this before we started recording. JPP was an animal. And no coincidence, all of a sudden, Shaq Barrett and Nassib started coming around. And for the first three quarters, Tannehill couldn't do much because of the pass rush. I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. The best friend a defensive back has is a good pass rusher. Because a defensive coordinator can hide a poor defensive back with a pass rush. Without a pass rush, there isn't a defensive coordinator alive that can hide a corner in the NFL.
That is a very nice summation.
You know, the fans, they tune in and listen to you. They turn in for your sage advice, your sage wisdom. What do you think the Bucs are going to do as in regards to the trade deadline? If they do get rid of players, will it be O.J. Howard?
I'm drawing a circle around a small cadre. I'm giving you another word. A small cadre
Not
of players name. That includes the Mike Evans and the Chris Godwins of the world. Maybe Marpet. Maybe Devin White. And I'm drawing a circle around those guys.
Core players.
Anybody who's not in that circle, I'm entertaining offers. And I don't care if it's Lavonte David, who I wouldn't mind seeing play for a freaking playoff team before he hangs up his cleats because he deserves it. I don't care if it's O.J. Howard because it doesn't look like he's going to be productive for this franchise. This is now two different coaching staffs. Now, the problem with Cutter's staff was he was getting hurt this year. I know he missed this game, but he wasn't productive before this game. So, look, when you're using O.J. Howard predominantly as a blocking tight end, there's a problem.
Yeah.
There's an issue. Not just a problem. There's an issue. You get a good offer, you move on. I got my ears to the walls. Bring it on, people. I'm listening.
Here's what I would do. Unless your name is Lavonte David or Mike Evans, unless you're under a rookie contract, I'm shopping you.
You're not unloading them on the cheap. You want value.
I'm to the point where that locker room, I think, needs to be cleaned out. If they can get draft picks, so what? You could use those draft picks as collateral to trade up and get whoever you want. And I'll say this, Ira. I'll let you respond, then we'll end your podcast. As hacked off as Mike Evans was, I thought of this earlier in the season, and I think about this more now. As hacked off as Evans was, there were three guys, all of them were studs, that were steamed, and one of them was Evans, and apparently he went off. How, if this continues, this dreck, this same mistakes over and over and over again, same crap, different day. How long before Mike Evans tells Light, I want out. I want to win. Get me out of here.
I hope it doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't because, as we saw on Sunday, he is an elite receiver in this league.
He took over that game in the second quarter.
He did. He took over.
And for the Bucs not to target him in the fourth quarter is so unacceptable that...
How many targets for Brett Perryman in the fourth quarter?
Five too many. I like the Glazer family. I really do. But at some point, where are the Glazers? They see this. They have more information than we do. If I was a Glazer man, Darcy, let's say I'm Darcy Glazer. I'm going up to Bruce Arians. If you do that again, Leftwich is out on the sidewalk.
Don't think Arians isn't thinking about taking over the offense. Don't think he's not thinking about it.
If he doesn't think about it, he's very close. Well, you know what? It's too late now. They're out of the playoffs. But if I was a Glazer, I'd be very tempted to order him. Because remember that report that came out before the season? The Glazers were skittish about Leftwich because they thought they were paying for Arians and instead getting Leftwich.
I mentioned it many times. Many times.
How true those words are.
Buck fans, please subscribe to Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, and many other platforms. You'll get a free alert when every new episode becomes available. Or listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast at joebucksfan.com. Chris Russo every Wednesday at 5. Now, he's at the World Series. I was on last week. He's at Minute Park in Houston. The producer says, Ira, we still got you down for 5 o'clock. I talked to the producer at 5 minutes to 5. He goes, we just finished up with Pete Rose. You're next, Kaufman.
That's a lead-in.
I said, I'm following the all-time hit king? That's a lead-in. Then I get on. The first thing Russo says, before he's asking me about how many turnovers Jameis Winston had in London, he's asking me, we got A.J. Hinch coming up at some time in this half hour, and if we get him, you're on hold, Kaufman. You're on hold. I said, well, you know, you're getting the World Series manager 3 hours before a game. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he did. Tailgate Sunday, Fox 13, Sunday morning.
Yep.
Always at 10:30 in the morning. Sometimes we tape it. Sometimes it's live. In a couple of weeks, if this team ever returns home from this road trip from hell, we'll do it on the sideline live at Ray J. And then I've got Derek Brooks, The Identity, Tampa 2. We tape it on Tuesdays. They show it on Wednesdays, Thursday, or Friday. Two segments. Derek Brooks has very strong opinions on what's going on. He usually wears a tie. But you know what? Brooks is so frustrated, he's not going to wear a tie on this show until the Bucks continue and resume their winning ways. Lee, I hope he doesn't wait till December 12th to put a tie back on.
Also, aren't you on some cable outfit once a week or so?
Well, Spectrum Sports, Monday night, with my comrade, former Roy Cummings. 15 years together on the Buck Beat. We did it all together. When they were bad, when they were good, we went through the glory days. We covered the Super Bowl together. Lee, that's when the Trib had money.
What's the Tribune?
The Tampa Tribune had money back then. And during the Buck Championship 2002 season, when they went out to San Diego for that Super Bowl, we sent 25 people to San Diego. And that's not like going to Bartow, you know.
All right, we hope you enjoyed today's Ira Kaufman podcast and Ira getting in all his little plugs there. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, presenting sponsor of everything Ira at joebucksfan.com. Visit billcurryford.com. Remember, Ira's watching the game with you Sunday at Buffalo Wild Wings, Pinellas Park. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff, but he gets there about an hour early or so. So get your seat, enjoy the whole day, the whole slate of NFL games. And Pin Chasers, remember, the big anniversary party is Sunday. 60-cent bowling, 60-cent fries, 60-cent drinks. Get to pinchasers.com. We will see you with the next Ira Kaufman podcast. It'll be recorded at $1 on Wednesday. Should be a fun time.
Old age is a factor. Always a factor.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.